Oh, you're doing something better. Amen. Don't be sad, because he went to Jerusalem. He went to the grave, and the grave could not contain him. And that's why we celebrate. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, praise team. We want to thank God this morning. We want to thank God this morning for another beautiful Sunday. And not just another Sunday, but Palm Sunday, right?
Amen.
And I know many of you think about Palm Sunday message. Jesus going to Jerusalem and is shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, right? But we want to kind of spin it around a little bit. Not about Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, but who was Jesus and why did he go to Jerusalem and why he was so purposeful that nothing could stop him from going to Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, that you've made. In thousands of years, O God, when you rode on a donkey to Jerusalem to fulfill the prophecies, to bring salvation to mankind, we thank you for that day, and we thank you for giving yourself for us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you just speak your word and let your word go forth and accomplish the purpose for which you've been sent. In Jesus' name, amen. As Pastor Gary beautifully read the passage from Matthew chapter 16, beginning from verse 21 to the 28th verse, we want to look at that those verses and speak about the purposeful Jesus. Sometimes we purpose in our heart to do certain things, and no matter what, we got to do it. Right? Oh, I haven't happened to none of you before. That's good. You want to do something, and no matter what, you say, I'm going to try by all means. Or maybe you saw that nice car, you said, I'm going to work hard and buy that car. You saw that beautiful house, and you said, I'm going to work hard and build and purchase that home. I'm going to work hard and do this. You spend all your resources. Your mind is made up. Nothing can stop you from changing, but you focus on doing that. Imagine you focus on going through suffering. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You've seen it. You know it's going to happen. But you say, I'm going to go. Let me see the hands. Who's ready to do that? No one, right? But Jesus was purposeful, embracing the must. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Oh. Amen. There you go. Amen. The purposeful Jesus embracing the must. And we're going to look at, let me skip that, our eternal truth. And our eternal truth is that the road Jesus walked was not a comfortable stroll, but a deliberate, costly pilgrimage toward redemption. He knew what was going to happen, but he chose to walk on that road. He spoke of a life defined by purpose, even when that purpose required hardship, required surrendering his life, and even the hardship when it required the cross. Jesus chose it. Now, mind you, death on the cross during those days was those who committed crime. Criminal were, they were the ones that hung on the cross and nailed because of crime that they committed. But imagine, Jesus didn't commit no crime, but he accepted the fact that he was going to be nailed, he was going to be crucified as a criminal. Imagine waking up one morning and you know that, like, oh, today is the last day I get to live. And I'm going to suffer this, I'm going to go through this, I'm going to go through that. Man, we will be on our knees. God, give me more days, please. You're going to be praying for God to take suffering away from you. You're going to be praying, asking God to take pain away from you. Even though you know it's going to happen, but you're going to be asking God, you want to get around it. But Jesus knew this would have happened. If it ain't Jesus calling, turn it up, because I know he's on his way to Jerusalem now. He don't need your help. Amen. Amen. But the rule was tough. He knew. But as we're going to look in the passage, Jesus had a purposeful mind that he must go and accomplish that which he was sent. Now, Jesus' ministry, he went through his ministry of teaching, and the disciples, people saw great things that he did. And all these things continue. He witnessed, he healed the sick, he raised the dead. At a point in time, he fed 5,000. He did miraculous acts. And the disciples were excited that he was around to be in a gathering of Jesus. Their mindset was not focusing on what Jesus' mission was. Jesus had a plan. He had a mission. And he stuck to his plan. He stuck to the mission, what he had to accomplish. Sometimes we make plans, we don't stick with our plans, right? Sometimes we get distracted when things happen. We drift away from our plans, from our purpose. We lose track. And even when it's getting difficult, you say, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going to continue again. You move on. But Jesus knew that he has to complete his mission. So let's look at the first thing, the clarity of Jesus' mission. What was his mission? And in Matthew chapter 5, I mean chapter 16, I was read by Pastor Gary. First, Jesus knew the must. He knew that his life was, his mission was, not in the grave, but beyond the grave. His mission will not end in the grave. So everything that he did it purposefully. So let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. And it says, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. Now, Jesus had been to Jerusalem. And every time he went to Jerusalem, there was a problem. He said, this guy was just causing problems for the people in Jerusalem. You know, you get this child in the house, every time they go in the kitchen or go around, they break something. Every time they go, they destroy something. You know, on my kids, all of them, I know them so well. When one of them do something, I know who do it. And I would just call that person by the name. And once I see their face, I said, don't say anything. You know you did it, right? Yeah. They are setting all my kids. When this thing is done, I know who did it. When they pass it, I say, hey, come on, you pass. Yes, daddy. And every time Jesus went to Jerusalem, four different times, the first time he went, what did he do? He caused problems for them in the temple. He whipped everybody out of the temple. They had to clear the temple because they were using the temple as a market ground instead of a place of worship. And not only that, before the Passover, after the Passover, they call it the Day of Booths, after the Passover, Jesus went to Jerusalem and he healed. And the religious said, why will you heal on the day of the after the Passover? After the Passover, you're not supposed to do anything. Why are you doing this? So all every time he went, he was doing the opposite of what they thought was the right thing. So now, Jesus realized that the time, he said, from that time on, Jesus was speaking about his death. He was telling the disciples about his death. He was letting them to know what was about to happen. And when he told them that he must go to Jerusalem, he said, he told his disciples, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. Only God could do that. Only God could do that. And he said these things he had to suffer from the hands of the elders, from the chief priests, because they were not in favor with the teachings. And at last he said he must be killed. Now, mind you, Jesus was speaking, even though as the Son of God, but 100% he was man. He was like you and I. And in that moment, imagine how it felt that I'm going to go to Philadelphia, even though that's where the Eagles are. But I must go there, and they're going to humiliate me like this morning I came, and Miss Rosemary gave me a compliment, and then she talked about how they love, everybody in the place said, oh, they love your, my green tie. I said, oh, forget, this is my summer. This is not Eagles Day, please. But knowing that you're going to go and experience death, you're going to suffer many things. He's going to be persecuted. He's going to be beaten. And mind you, he's going to ride into Jerusalem. The very people who are going to shout Hosanna. The very people who are going to shout King of Kings. The very people who are going to wave palm branches and shout welcome him. In a few days, the same people are going to be saying, crucify him. All of that going on his mind. He had a triumphant entry, but his triumphant entry was just for a moment. It was brief because it was leading him to death. So he said, I must go. Now, here's the thing. Why must Jesus go to Jerusalem? Even though he knows he's going to die. The first thing, as we said, he said in his mission, as I said earlier, Jesus' mission was not to just go into Jerusalem, be persecuted, and be killed. That's the end of the story. No. His mission was beyond the grave to bring redemption for mankind. Amen. To deliver mankind. And then he said, and be killed, and why? Be raised on the third day. So why would Jesus want to go to Jerusalem? When Jerusalem was where he had all his sources of his opposition. Like I said, since he began his ministry, no one, the religious leader did not like him in Jerusalem. So when he said he had to go to Jerusalem and the disciples with him, it came to the man, why are you saying this? Why would you want to go to Jerusalem? And it could be any of us, right? Any of us. If I told my wife, look, I'm going to Philadelphia. Even though they don't like, the Eagles don't like me there. The fans don't like me. I'm a Dallas fan. I'm going to go there. And she'll be there. Why you want to go there when you know they're going to do this to you? And I know they got one of the tough fans in there. They hate defeat. Can I get an amen? Amen. But knowing that you're going to go and experience it, and guess what? His disciple was, what is going on? We've been there about three different times, and they tried to kill you. Why do you want to go there this time? Amen? Well, you know the good thing about Philadelphia? I got my wife from Philadelphia. Something? Yeah? Hey, oh, Dennis, stop. But the disciple was concerned, why would you want to go somewhere that on different occasions that
They plan to kill you. Why would you want to do that? But you see, they didn't have the mind that Jesus had. They were not thinking about what Jesus was thinking. They did not understand the mission of Jesus. That he had to suffer many things. That he had to go to the cross. That he had to bring redemption. And guess what happened? Peter said this. So the first thing before we go further, here's the question. Are you willing to commit to the things of God over human comfort? Jesus knew that he was going to suffer many things. He was going to be killed. But he was willing to take the cross instead of accepting the comfort in heaven. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to go through difficulties for Jesus, for the kingdom of God, than to have our own comfort? Because the disciples were not thinking about that. They were thinking about it now. But Jesus was thinking about the plan that God had put into place thousands of years before their existence. And so this is what happened next, right? We're going to look at it. Distraction came about. And earlier I said, sometimes you plan. And when you make all your plan, there's distraction. Boom, you forget about everything you plan. And some of the distraction can be your wife. But thank God my wife never distracted me before. She always put me on track. It can be your friends. It can be your children. It can be your parents. It can be anybody who can serve as distraction. Your friends, your good friends. But let's see what happened when this happened in the first verse there. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. I just could imagine Peter didn't want to say it in public. Among the other disciples, he said, yo, come on inside, man. Come on. What do you think you're doing, man? You want to go back to Jerusalem? You got to do better than this. Don't we have some friends like that? When you disclose your plan to them and say, this is what do you think? It's difficult. You can't do it. Instead of giving you good advice, they give you wrong advice. They discourage you. They don't want you to do it because they cannot accomplish it, so they discourage you not to do it. Peter was the one who, in the early part of chapter 16, when Jesus asked, who do men say I am? Some say you're Elijah, some say you're the prophet, some say you. And Peter came out and said, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, you are the rock. And he said, upon this rock would I build my church. Imagine, flesh and blood did not reveal that to Peter to confess that Jesus is the Christ. It must have been the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter. Hey, in a minute, Satan starts to speak to Peter again. Just after he has spoken clearly about who Jesus is, now he telling Jesus, he put it aside and said, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. He tell him, I'm going to go with. He said, don't go. This is not he. He discouraging Jesus from going. But mind you, that's how Satan works, right? Satan knew the plan that Jesus had to accomplish. He knew the mission that Jesus had to finish. From the beginning, when Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says he was led to be tempted in the wilderness. And who came? Satan came to him and tempted him. He said, oh, I know you're hungry. You can change these stones. Turn it into bread. And what did Jesus say? Man cannot live by bread alone. He didn't stop there. He took him to a high pinnacle and he said, see all of this. He said, worship me and I'll give you. And Jesus looked at him and said, what is this guy up to? I created everything. Now you want me to worship you to have this? He didn't stop there. He went forward. He said, throw yourself down from here. And it's written, he will send his angel to uphold you. And Jesus saying, sit on you to not put the Lord your God to test. So you see how Satan was trying to distract Jesus from his mission, from his plan. And he did that. And Peter, who has spoken boldly about who Jesus was, he came to Jesus, called him, sir. And he said, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Lord, I'm telling you, do not go there, because we've seen how all these things have been happening. Every time you went to Jerusalem, this is happening. That is happening. Why don't you stay? But Jesus had to accomplish his purpose, because his purpose was not only towards the grave. Peter had this fresh confessing of Jesus. He just confessed that Jesus was the Christ. But now he was standing as a stumbling block to the mission of Jesus. And sometimes there will be folks, there will be things that will serve as a stumbling block to you serving God. How are you going to do that? Are you going to think about the comfort? Or are you going to think about the cross? You see, the disciples considered Jesus' death to be a total catastrophe for them. Their mindset was that if this man died, we lose everything. Because they felt Jesus would have come to deliver them from the hands of the Roman authority, establish his kingdom, and rule as king. They was looking at the physical aspect of Jesus ruling as king. But Jesus wasn't concerned the physical. Jesus was concerned the spiritual aspect of redeeming mankind. And there they missed the track. And so Jesus had to go. But in all of these things, Jesus was still purposeful. His mind was made up. He was set, and he was not going to allow the devil to distract him from going and carrying out God's plans that God had planned years and years ago. And that's what the devil does. You see, the disciples were seeing it impossible for Jesus to die. And let's be real. Imagine you around Jesus Christ, and he's done all the miraculous acts. And now the man who raised Lazarus from the dead, and now he's saying that he's going to be killed? The one who has the power in his hand. But they were confused, because they thought when he's killed, he must have stayed in the grave. But they were not thinking. Their mind was on earthly things, while Jesus' mind was set on heavenly things. And let's see the next thing. This is what Jesus said to him in verse 23. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. The things of God are spiritual. And that's why we battle with, right? We struggle to serve God. We struggle to honor God. We struggle to live for God. We struggle to do what God wants us to do. Because why? The physical things surrounding us keep distracting us. It keeps pulling us back. When we want to make one step forward, it keeps pulling us back, falling in our path. But Jesus was focused, and he would not allow Satan to distract him or take him away from his plan. So Jesus said to Jesus, get thee behind me. Jesus had just revealed to his disciples for the first time his plan, that he was going to Jerusalem. But Peter was speaking for the devil, which is Jesus' adversary. Peter was not setting his mind on the things of God. He was not setting his mind on God's ways. He was not setting his mind on God's plans. Now was he setting his mind on God's purposes. He was setting his mind on things of the world. Because if Jesus gone, that man, they'll lose everything. They're going to continue struggling in the hands of the Roman authority. Their life will be chaos. And they needed that redemption through Jesus, but not a redemption that will bring spiritual redemption, but that physical, worldly redemption. That was the mindset. But Jesus instead told Peter, he said, get thee, because Jesus knew it wasn't Peter who was speaking, it was Satan who was speaking through Jesus, I mean Peter, to distract Jesus from his mission. And as believers, when Jesus reprimanded Peter, it did not make sense to Peter. And for us, Jesus going to the cross is a profound message for us. We can see that Peter was wrong. He wasn't concerned the perspective of Jesus' death and his suffering. But God orchestrated this so that we, as his children, we have a second chance to the kingdom of God. And when Peter focus shifted towards his desires, towards his own plans, and not God's plan, he lost track of what Jesus came to do. And when we take our focus, our mind from on Christ, when we take our heart away from what the plan for our life, the purpose for our life, if we take our mind, we get distracted. Guess what? We lose focus on what God has planned in store for us. And mind you, Satan will do everything. And that's his plan, to take us away from the presence of God. He will come with distraction. He will come with a lot of things that will cause you to look at your situation and say, you know what? I can't make it any longer. And then he will be successful. But he could not overcome Jesus, because Jesus had a purposeful mind. He was purposeful. He knew that he was going to be killed. He knew that he was not going to stay in the grave. He knew he was going to be resurrected. So with everything that he had to go through, he went through it successfully just for our sake. And listen, church, when Jesus rebuked Satan, Peter, he tried to make Peter understand that Peter cannot make him to be distracted from the cause that which he came for. And think about it. When we set our mind, our heart on Jesus and the kingdom and God's plan, no matter what distraction, it cannot overcome us. And because that's why the scripture says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Because Christ in us is greater than the devil will try, but he will not destroy us, because Christ has us as a back of our lives. So, Jesus knew his plan in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 4 to 6. He said, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The prophet Isaiah prophesied that about Jesus. But not only that, Isaiah also talked about that, about the suffering servant who Jesus, he said in chapter 52, verse 13, he said, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. Jesus was going to be dealt with. He was going to be humiliated. He was going to be beaten. He was going to be treated like an ordinary person. He's going to be treated like a criminal. Look what he says in verse 14. He says, just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man. The prophet says that Jesus will be treated. He will be beaten that you will not be able to recognize him. That was the prophet said. The prophet said that Isaiah gave him. He said, in his form more than the Son of Man, so shall he spring up many nations. Kings shall shout their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. So the prophet Isaiah speaks of Jesus being the suffering servant, that he's going to come and go through all of these things. And Jesus knew that had been prophesied. And he had to live it. He had to go to Jerusalem. He had to experience suffering at the hands of those who he came to redeem. He had to be killed at the hands of those he came to bring salvation to. The very people he came to save, he had to be killed by them. Can you imagine how that felt? And he had to endure all of these things. And if he did not go through, the prophecy would have not been fulfilled. Our salvation would have not come to pass. We won't be saved. But Jesus didn't consider himself. He looked at us and decided to go to Jerusalem. And as we go forward, we want to understand, even though Jesus did all of these things for us, but we have a part to play. And Jesus spoke to the disciples, even though they did not understand, they were looking at the physical, the worldly aspect of Jesus' kingdom. They were not looking at the spiritual aspect of Jesus' kingdom. But this is what he had to say to them. Before we go there, let us consider the question, what is the value of your soul? Is it important more than God? Serving God? Or are your daily decisions draw you toward Christ, like love, mission? Or is it drawing you away from him? Peter's decision was worthy. He didn't want Jesus to go to Jerusalem. The disciples didn't want Jesus to go to Jerusalem. They felt that going to Jerusalem would have destroyed the plan of them gaining freedom from the hands of the Romans. They felt that everything they had labored for, leaving their career as fishermen and following Jesus all the years in on his ministry, for 3 years they followed him, and now everything was going to go boom in the drain. And all the years were behind this guy, and he's going to tell us that he's going to go die? Then what become? Actually, I stay with my career being a fisherman. Should I stay with my career being a carpenter? Should I stay with my career being an accountant? Should I stay with my career being a doctor instead of following Jesus? Should I stay being a teacher? Let me not follow him, because guess what? It's a waste of time. Don't we do that? We run after our career and forget about Jesus. We run after our money and forget about Jesus. We run after so many things, then we run after God. The decisions that we make, is it bringing us closer to God, or is taking us away from him? And this is what Jesus had to say to the disciples. Jesus called them to a shared purpose. One, deny the self and taking up the cross. And there's an external exchange that we have to give. So let's look at that real quickly. Then Jesus said to the disciple, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I guess they were confused. What is this guy talking about? We left our career. We follow you. We left our family. All these years we've been with you in the wilderness. We going back and forth from city to city, from town to town, from village to village. We've done all these things for 3 years. And why? What are you saying we should deny ourselves? Haven't we done enough? We left everything. We left our family, our wives, our children, everything. We left it behind us. And we follow you all these years, going back and forth. And our life has been threatened. We almost got killed because of you. And now you're telling us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you. Jesus said, that wasn't enough. You see, they were looking at the physical, looking at what was happening now, but Jesus was looking at what's going to happen when he leaves. Jesus was making them to understand, look, if you can't deny yourself, take off your cross and follow me, you're not going to, in a day from 2 or 3 now, you're not going to see me. Then what's going to happen? What become of you? What become of your relationship? What become of your faith? What become of you? But if you can't take up your cross, if you cannot forget about your family completely, you cannot forget. Now, I didn't say you should get up one morning and say, oh, you know what? You tell your wife, you say, Jesus said I should deny myself, take up my cross. So, Verna? No, he didn't say that. So we don't want phone call coming to our church and say, Pastor Gary, this is what Pastor Hans would say. But Jesus was saying that those things that are going to hold you back from following him, your job, if it takes more time than Jesus, it's holding you back. Your family, if you're not spending time with God more, it's holding you back. Whatever that's going to stand between you and God, you got to deny that. You got to kick it aside. Even if that best friend are going to hold you back, tell them, say, I'd rather have Jesus than to have silver or gold. Because what he says, he said, for whoever desires to save his life will what? Lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You see, serving Jesus will be tough now. It may not be easy. There's headache, there's burden, there's chaos. But the end result is great. Because there's reward. We're going to talk about that later. And this is why he told his disciples, if anyone you want to follow me, you must deny yourself. Even though you think that you forget your family, your career, everything, that is not enough. That is not enough. Remember the rich man that came to Jesus and said, he's done everything. And Jesus said, give to the poor. He said, yeah, I do. He said, I read everything. I read the law and I fast. I did everything. And Jesus said, go. Take all your possession and give it to the poor. When you have done that, come and follow me. And the scripture says, he bent his head and walked away. There are things that are holding us that we have to let go and allow God to take control. Because when those things are holding us, when they keep pulling us back, guess what? We will remain where we are and not growing spiritually for his mission. And that's why he said, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. And not only that, there's an exchange. He said, for whoever desires to save himself will lose it. But first one, he says, for what profits a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will you gain? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And the only thing you can gain in exchange for your soul is following Jesus Christ. That's the best thing we can do. That's the greatest thing we can ever do. And so Jesus says, he said, what will you gain if you have everything? everything to your disposal. And then at the end, your soul is lost. Why would you gain? And that was the mindset of the disciples. They were not thinking about Jesus. What purpose was he had it in his mind that this has to be done no matter what. And he makes them to understand, I created the world. I own everything. I don't need them, but I need you. And that's why he came. And that's why he was purposeful to redeem us. Amen? And look at John chapter 12, verse 13. It says, Jesus said to them, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. More assuredly, he said, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. And look at verse 25. It says, he who lost his what? His life will lose it. And who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. For if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. When we honor God, we serve him. Jesus makes it plain. We're going to be honored by God. There's a reward. God is going to provide a reward for us. But in order for that to happen, in order for us to go through into our own Jerusalem and experience the suffering and experience the beating and be killed, even physically, everything is falling down us, we must focus on Jesus just as he was purposeful. His mind, his heart was on Jesus. Amen? So the question is your focus shifted to your own desires and plans instead of on God and his plans? Because if your focus is not on God's plan, on God's desires, you're going to be just like the disciple who didn't know what God's plan was. Amen. Amen. You know, our church secretary made a mistake and they didn't put my last point in the bulletin there. You see that? So Pastor Gary and myself cracking said, I said, maybe Carol didn't want to me to preach too long. So she she cut that part off. But it's a mistake. But we're gonna use this point and see. We were cracking. I told Carol Friday, I said, Carol, you're the best. We're not gonna allow you to retire until you can find somebody just like you. But she's the best. But here's the thing. As we look at Jesus going to Jerusalem, this is why he told the disciples. There's a future glory. And going to Jerusalem to be suffered, and if you want to save your own life, if you want to follow me, this is the life that matters. And then look at that real quickly. Look at verse 27 to 20 says, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. And he said, assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his glory. There's a reward following Jesus. And there's a future glory that awaits all of those who follow him. This is why he said, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death. Even if you die physically, he's speaking about the spiritual death, that you're going to be with him. You die the physical death, spiritually, you're going to be with him in heaven. And that's not the end of your life. The grave is not going to be the end to your journey. Because he says it. He went to the cross, he went to the grave, and he resurrected. And if he had control over death, And we that believe in him, when we die, guess what? We live with him. And that's the hope. That's it. So in that sense, staying focused on God's concern, you transition from merely existing to living a life that truly matters for eternity. When you focus on Jesus, you live a life that matters for eternity. And the path of the cross is not a dead end, but a way to resurrection and life and ultimate victory. That's what we have in Jesus. So going back to our internal truth, church, we said the road Jesus walked was not comfortable. Going to Jerusalem was not comfortable. It wasn't just an easy walk that he had to experience. He had to go through suffering. He had to go through rejection. He had to be killed. But Jesus was purposeful, even as a suffering servant. Look there, he spoke of a life defined by purpose, even when that purpose requires hardship. It requires surrendering, and even if he had to go to the cross, Jesus endured all of that. So what about us this morning? Are we ready to go to the cross? I want to read it quickly before we close. Just as Jesus was purposeful going to Jerusalem, we are called to be purposeful in our discipleship. We are, and here's the question, are we focused on human concerns, on comfort and safety? Are we focused on things that will just satisfy us for a minute? Or are we focusing on divine things, sacrifice, and serve? Are we focusing to sacrifice our time for Jesus Christ? Are we focusing to sacrifice our time, our service for him, for his kingdom? You see, following Jesus is not about avoiding the messiness of life. Don't say I'm going to follow Jesus and my life is going to be perfect. No. It's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be great. You're going to go through all these things. But following him through it into the promise of resurrection. When you follow him, there's a promise that no matter what it's going to be, he, God, going to bring it through. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you went to Jerusalem for our sake, being purposeful, Lord, as this suffering servant committing to the cross for our sake. Help us, Lord, that we would not find ourselves being distracted by our own comfort, but our mind, our heart will focus on you. When we cannot find our way out, we will look to heaven and find you because you prepared a way for us. We just bless you. And if you are here this afternoon and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, this is the opportunity that on this day he went through Jerusalem for your sake so that you cannot go to hell or experience condemnation in hell, but to be with him in heaven. You can raise your hand wherever you are, or see us after service, and we can pray along with you. If you're here also and you're struggling to live the Christian life, to be focused, we can also pray along with you that God will help you to remain focused and be purposeful in serving him through this journey. We just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The praise team will come and just lead us into our closing song.
Pastor Ansu's message, man, it's pretty challenging, isn't it? To just really focus on God and do what he wants us to do, right? It's really hard. But, you know, I want to say this and we'll pray. The good thing is that God gives us his Holy Spirit. And that's what kind of keeps us thinking right, keeps us on track, and gives us the comfort and the power to make hard choices. So I want to encourage you as we go forward, and we're going to kind of develop those ideas in the Easter season a little bit more. Man, didn't God love us so much? He loved us so much that he would do anything to save us. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts, Lord. Pastor Ansu's voice has gone quiet, but we ask, dear God, that you would just speak to our hearts, that we would understand, Lord, just what it means to really follow you. And that we would follow you, Lord, because of the depth of your love for us. The commitment, Lord, to save us at all cost. I pray that you go with us now today. I pray that if there's anyone here, Lord, who doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I pray, dear God, that you would just cause them to reach out, that they might be able to find out how to do that. Just by putting their faith and their trust in the fact that you're the Son of God and you died for them. Again. Lord, go with us now in the week, Lord, as we go into this time of Holy Week. I pray, dear God, that you would direct our thoughts, Lord, towards your word, toward heaven, toward the things that matter. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring us all back together on Friday, Lord, as we just celebrate your amazing sacrifice that we might have eternal life. Father, go with us this week in all the challenges, all the issues. And Lord God, we just ask for your help. And we pray all these things now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving.